and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. It is written, and they shall say to you, lo there, lo here. Go not away, nor follow after them. For as the lightning, when it lighteneth out of one part under the heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. It is written, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. If he should come today and find my hands so full of future plans, however fair, in which my Savior had no share, what would he say? If he should come today and find my heart so cold, my faith so weak and dim, I had not even looked for him, what would he say? If he should come today and find I had not told one friend about that heavenly friend, whose blessings all my ways attend, what would he say? If he should come today, would I be glad? Real glad, knowing that he died for all, and none through me had heard his call. What would he say?
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Luke chapter 17, what Jesus said about the second coming. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. Those days are the days when we shall wish for the coming of the Lord, when you consider that he is speaking of his return. And they shall say to you, lo there, lo here, follow not after them. For as the lightning, when it lighteneth out of one part of the heaven, shineth unto the other part of the heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. When we see the lightning, there is always a clap of thunder that follows. Peter says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements, being on fire, will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and all things therein shall be burned up. The great noise must be the sound of celestial thunder that will attend the Lord's lightning-fast return. He further states that we are to look for and earnestly desire the coming of the day of God. So when things look bad in the world because of violence, drugs, wars, and disease, it is only natural for the Christian to desire the coming of the day of the Son of Man. On the basis of that, our prayer should be at all times in the words of Peter, O Lord, let the elements be dissolved with fervent heat. Let the heavens pass away with a great noise. Let the earth and the works therein be burned up. And as Jesus promised, let the sun be turned into darkness, let the moon be turned into blood, let the heavens be removed as a scroll when it is rolled up, let the stars fall from heaven as a fig tree casteth her unripe figs when she is shaken by a great wind. Let the Lord descend, let the shout be heard, let the voice of the archangel be uttered, let the trumpet sound, let the dead in Christ be raised up, let us who remain be caught up, and let us meet the Lord in the air, in our resurrected, glorified bodies, and let death be swallowed up in victory. This is our prayer, this is our desire, and this is our wish. In Jesus' name, amen. However, when Jesus told the apostles of his return, he said, But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He was rejected then, and he is rejected now. And now the Lord tells us next, what the days will be like before he returns. Those days that make us long to see his coming again. He instructs us by comparing those days with the days of three individuals. The three are Noah, Lot, and Lot's wife. First, the Lord spoke of the days of Noah. As it came to pass in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now what was it like in the days of Noah? Let Moses tell us. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then he said, The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Peter says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and evidently no one paid any attention to his warnings. These words give us some insight as to the spiritual condition of the people in the days of Noah. What were they like? Well, for one thing, those were violent days then. Violence is one of the characteristics of people just before he returns. Remember, those people back there did not have any atomic devices. They had no gunpowder or any of our modern-day methods of killing each other. Yet, they were so violent, without all of that, that God brought the flood on the world of the ungodly. Evidently, the laws we make regarding the sale of guns is a moot question. If we took all of the bombs and other weapons we have and threw them in the ocean, that would not stop wars. Men would still go to war and fight if they had to use sticks and rocks and bows and arrows. Is there any serious question in anyone's mind that we live in perilous times? Martin Luther thought they had perilous times in 1522. He said in one sermon he preached in that year that the end must come soon because they had invented gunpowder and the printing press. Luther thought the world was so high-tech that they had gone about as far as they could go. How much more is our potential for violence today? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Another characteristic of men in Noah's day was that the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. It is the opinion of advertisers that American people think evil continually. Look at the shows on television, the porn magazines that are specially made for the spiritually and sexually depraved. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Another condition of Noah's day and the day of the Lord is all flesh had corrupted themselves. I saw in a national magazine several years ago that two unmarried college students were living together. The boy said he did the ironing and the girl did the cooking. They said they may or may not get married. Most of us won't have to look very far to see the same situation in our own families or church. Of course, in their impudence, they snicker. They smile at us indulgently and tell us, Well, this is the 21st century, and they are consenting adults having a relationship, and that makes it okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the moral commands of the Word of God have never been up for a vote of the majority. God is not governed by what the polls say. We live at a time when all flesh has corrupted themselves, and it was in a day like that in Noah's day. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, a fourth thing the people of Noah's day had in common with today is their lack of faith in the Word of God. God told Noah, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. He told Noah to build the ark. Noah believed the Lord. In the roll call in Hebrews of the great people of faith, it is said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. While Noah built the ark, he preached, as it were, with the Bible in one hand and a hammer in the other. Peter tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness who was spared with seven others also when God brought the flood on the world of the ungodly. Noah was the most unsuccessful preacher that ever lived. Aside of his own family, he did not see one convert to his ministry. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And now the second example is Lot. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. What then was it like in the days of Lot? Both Jude and Peter give us some insight. First, Jude says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. Then Peter says, Lot was vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked in Sodom. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I saw an advertisement of a movie about 30 years ago that was called Sodom. The ad said, Sodom was the city that gave its name to sin. This statement could not be politically correct today. But some things that are politically correct today are morally and spiritually as rotten as hell. But think about it. Suppose your city was well known for its distilleries, and they called it Whiskey City, and the street where you lived was on the corner of booze and drunkard streets. Whenever you read of the city of Sodom in the Bible, everybody knows what that city was famous for, or infamous, whichever the case may be. And remember, Jesus said, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. This is the way it was in the days of Lot, the way it is now, and the way it will be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. The moral fiber of the people in both cases had been shredded and disintegrated. Even though the soul of righteous Lot was vexed by the lifestyle of the Sodomites, he did not seem to be in any hurry to leave. Moses tells us while Lot lingered, the angels took him and his wife and two daughters by the hand to lead them out of the city and said, escape for thy life. Perhaps he lingered because he was loath to leave that nice house he lived in, the new television, the new car, all the money in the bank. Think of that nice boat that was going to go up in flames. What a waste. But the angels said, escape for thy life. Perhaps he was loath to leave so many in his family behind, and no doubt they used his lingering for what they thought was hypocrisy. Look at that old fool. He says this place will burn down, and he doesn't even believe it himself. He's still hanging around. Escape for thy life. Sometimes the church seems to linger in evangelism when they should be crying out to a lost and dying world, escape for thy life. There needs to be a sense of urgency in the invitation as the terms of pardon are laid out. Escape for thy life. In most congregations, the emphasis is on making the assembly feel comfortable, full of self-esteem, inspired, entertained, instead of being troubled with their spiritual lifestyle. Escape for thy life. On this broadcast, we continue to sound forth the fire alarm. Escape for thy life. We remind you of the terms of pardon laid down by Peter on the day of Pentecost when they first heard of the story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The message should come through loud and clear. Escape for thy life. And now for the third person that Jesus mentioned regarding his return, Lot's wife. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. What can we remember about this woman? Remember her because she is lost for all of eternity in spite of the fact that she was a member of the saved community. She no doubt was personally acquainted with Uncle Abraham, yet she was lost. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her in spite of the fact that she was married to a pious husband. Years later, Peter would call him Righteous Lot. She could not ride to heaven on the coattails of Lot. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her also because she entertained heavenly visitors in her home. Two angels had spent the night with her family, and yet she was lost. We also have entertained a heavenly visitor. Many a person who has received the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has fallen away. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her because she looked back from behind. She was leaving Sodom, but Sodom had not left her. Many a person has come into the fellowship of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and left the world, but the world is still in them. They look back from behind. They fall behind in Bible reading. They fall behind in prayer. They fall behind in attendance of the Lord's Day. In the observance of the Lord's Supper, they fall behind in their contributions. Remember Lot's wife. Now this, in conclusion, as you read this account, someone might notice that the Lord did not mention the sins listed in the Old Testament regarding Lot and his wife. His comment on the conditions of the last days regarded some things that don't appear wrong at all. He mentioned such things as eating and drinking. He spoke of marrying and giving in marriage. Then again, how about what he said about buying, selling, planting, and building? What's wrong with all those things? They are all necessary. What's wrong with marrying? There are a few people left today who will actually go to the trouble of getting a license and having a marriage ceremony. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with planting? If the farmers don't plant this year, we all are in real trouble. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with buying and selling? I'd hate to think that if I went to the supermarket, I would find the place padlocked, and they could not sell and I could not buy. What's wrong with buying a car? What's wrong with buying a house? What's wrong with any of those things? Nothing. Then why did Jesus bring it up? There are at least two reasons. The first reason, Jesus went back to the days before the flood, thousands of years, to show that the nature of people has not changed. They ate, drank, planted, bought, sold, married, given in marriage, and then they committed the same sins that people do today. We are more polished. We have invented things for our lifestyle that would have boggled the minds of the ancients. But we are no better. Nothing has changed about our human nature. They were on a collision course with destruction, and many today are on a collision course with hellfire. The second reason Jesus mentioned these things that are all right in themselves was to point out the fact that these ancients were just like us also. Because to them, all these good things they had was a way of life. They thought, let the good times roll. They will never end. They go on forever and ever. Nothing can stop it. My house, my car, my family, my money, my sports team, my television programs, my movies, my job. This is the sum total of life. He goes on and on and on endlessly. And then one day, surprise, surprise, the flood came in Noah's day and the fire fell on Sodom. The Twin Towers fall and Americans get antsy for a few days. Then it's back to business as usual. The biggest sin in both cases was greater than all their violence, perversion and corruption. The greatest sin of all is that they lived with no preparation for eternity. There is one statement that Jesus made regarding Lot's wife that needs emphasis. It is said 6 times, twice in Matthew, once in Mark, twice in Luke, once in John. The Lord repeated it more than any other statement that he made while on earth. He said, whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus concluded his message on the second coming with these words, I tell you, in that night 2 men shall be on one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. 2 women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. 2 men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Eagles seem to be a generic term for buzzards, since the eagle does not eat dead meat. Whenever you find a dead body, you will see the buzzards gather together. The lesson of Jesus on the buzzards is clear. Whenever this world becomes as morally rotten, putrefied, and stinking as it was in the days of Noah, Lot, and Lot's wife, those conditions will draw the judgment of God. In Revelation we read, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying unto all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Ladies and gentlemen, just look up, and by the eye of faith, you can see the buzzards making lazy circles in the sky over the rotting carcass of humanity. How long can God endure the stench, the foul odor of a drug-infested, sports-crazed, sexually perverted, violent, pleasure-mad world? It is in days like these that Jesus referred to when he said, if I go, I come again. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.